Welcome to Real Brave and Unstoppable. Here, you'll hear stories and inspiration about showing up in the world authentically and having the courage to create the life you want. I'm your host, Courtney Rivard. I'm a mom, recovering engineer, lover of the outdoors, and professional life coach. I help smart women just like you live happier lives full of purpose and joy by empowering them to love who they are, get unstuck, and take action toward creating the life they dream of. In other words, I help them be real, brave, and unstoppable. It is possible, and you can do it too. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to Real Brave and Unstoppable. This is episode number 48. And today I'm going to be talking about relationships. This is the last episode in April. That's crazy, right? It's hard to believe that May is like next week. And this is episode number 48, which means I'm almost to episode 50. Duh. I've been trying to think of some really fun topic to do for episode 50. So if you have any fun things, you know, fun ideas, shoot them my way. So I'm going to try to celebrate 50 with something fun and exciting. Exciting week for me. I have family coming to visit this week. Very exciting. My mom and my sister and my cousin are all coming to visit from Minnesota. And we always have such a fun girls' weekend when they come. So I'm super excited. My boyfriend is a brewer at a brewery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And so we're probably going to go up there and have some drinks. And then I don't know what else. It's supposed to be beautiful weather here. So I'm really looking forward to enjoying some time with some special people in my life. So today, I'm going to talk about relationships. And I'm really talking about relationships from an angle that I'm really just learning about. Let me explain. So a lot of you know my divorce story. I'm not going to tell the whole story again, but in the context of relationships, I've found since my marriage ended, it's been really difficult to really get in touch with or really know what feels like a right relationship for me. I think once my marriage ended and it was such a crash, bang, boom ending, my life just basically imploded on me. I sort of created this thought in my head that, well, I've been through this terrible thing. And so now I'm very deserving of this amazing, perfect relationship. And so I think I had crafted in my head kind of this perfect, the perfect relationship that I deserved or that I deserve. And, you know, it's really also hard in a situation like that, because not only do you have those thoughts, or not only did I have those thoughts in my head, but, you know, I also, when I would talk to people about certain relationships that I was in, people would say, well, you'll know if it's meant to be, or you'll know if it's the right one. And I don't know if that's always the case. And this is where it gets kind of confusing. And this is kind of, and this is what I'm talking about today, is just, I think our thoughts get in the way. The way we think about people, the way we think about the relationships, that gets in the way of us really connecting with other people on the level that we need to connect with them in order for it to feel like a good relationship. So I want to talk about how our thoughts really affect our relationships. So you'll see in a minute. But I do want to also, like, disclaimer, I am not a relationship expert. I'm not a relationship coach, although I do coach people on their relationships. And like I said, not a relationship expert. I am, however, an expert in mindset and how your thoughts create your results. So this actually, even though I'm not specifically trained in relationships, I do know a lot about how your thoughts contribute to how you're feeling in a relationship. So one thing that I have recently, as I've sort of been exploring my own relationship with my partner, one idea that has really caused me to explore other ways of thinking or other possibilities than what I think is right in front of me is this idea that relationships are really, they're just the thoughts that you have about another person. And I think this is why relationships can be really confusing, is that, you know, we want to feel good in a relationship. And when we want to feel good, we have these expectations of other people. And so then our feeling good is dependent on how other people behave. We have a lot of rules about how we want other people to behave. So then we kind of stop experiencing the relationship and, you know, we get stuck in our head and we get all up in our rules and our expectations. So really, as you might be able, as I'm talking, you can see that our relationships really are just what our thoughts about people are. So here's an example. My sister, she's my sister. She's a person. She's, you know, that's neutral. She's just a person, right? I love my sister. I think she's a lot of fun. We have great conversations together. I wouldn't trade her for the world. You know, I'm lucky to have a sister like my sister. Other people might not feel the same about her as a person. They might not, you know, they might think she's boring. Or sorry, Christy, I'm not saying you're boring, but just using this as an illustration, like other people might see her differently and experience her differently. But that relationship, like that I have with her or that someone else has with her, is entirely dependent on their thoughts about her. She's the same person, whether or not I have a great experience and great thoughts about her and someone else has not so great thoughts about her, she's the same person. So if you think about it this way, there's, you know, two people, but there's this space in between that's made up of all the thoughts that we have about each other. And that space in between is where the opportunity to make a connection is. So if all those thoughts and all those rules and expectations are sitting there in between, it's really hard to connect truly in the relationship. So I actually got coaching on my relationship with my partner from my coach. And she brought up this idea to me that your relationship is really just the thoughts that you have about the person you're in relationship with. And it kind of blew my mind. And to be honest, like I'm still really processing it, which is why I thought this topic was so good for the podcast. But it sort of allowed me, or it's prompted me rather, to think about my expectations and my thoughts in a relationship a little differently, or think about what it is that I am looking for in a relationship. What do I, my needs and my desires and stuff like that. Like it really made me stop and take a closer look at those things. One of the things that make relationships so complicated is expectations. We all have a set of expectations or rules for how we want the other person to behave in order for us to feel good or feel satisfied or feel like we're getting our needs met or feel like we're in the right relationship, feel like it's meant to be, feel like we're with the right person, and so on. And the problem with this is that most of these rules or expectations are unspoken. So the person that we're in relationship with really can't comply with them, even if they wanted to, because they most of the time they don't know what they are exactly. Sometimes they know some of them, but very rarely do we lay it all out, our whole list of expectations. Very rarely do we just lay it all out. One of the things that is difficult in a relationship when you start thinking about your needs and are your needs getting met? A lot of times in like counseling or therapy, you know, you'll go through and you'll list off your needs and your partner will list off their needs and then you make an effort to fill each other's needs. And that makes sense, right? We want to make an effort to, you know, be what our partner needs from us. But a lot of times that turns into two people following each other's expectations, which is really the opposite of connections. Really, when we're doing that, we're really just, if you think about that space between the two people as like a channel of thoughts and whatnot, we're just kind of living in that space then. You know, it's really the opposite of connection. We're really not making it through to the other side. We're just really complying with what our partner wants us to do. that's okay to fulfill your partner's needs for sure. But what that leaves out is that we really need to take responsibility for our own needs and our own emotions. And I think that that idea of trying to meet your partner's needs, it takes our own responsibility for giving that to ourselves out of the equation. I work with clients a lot on unworthiness and trying to love themselves. And this comes up a lot, is that they're, you know, especially if somebody's gone through like a divorce or lost a relationship, where they'll say, well, I miss, you know, my husband used to do this, or he used to tell me I was beautiful, or he used to tell me that he loved me and I felt it. And I, when I say it to myself, I don't really feel that. And so that's a really great example of how, you know, in that example, she was not ever giving that to herself. We all have to take responsibility for our own needs too. And yes, is it nice to be in a relationship where someone else meets our needs? Yes, but I am speaking from experience here. If you don't know how to meet your own needs and that relationship goes away, then you've got a lot of work to do. And that's fine. Work is fine. But the point is that we all are responsible for ourselves. You know, we are responsible for our emotions and for the needs we have. So I think like it's really important to keep that in mind when we're in relationship with someone. Examples of expectations that we might have are, it's pretty straightforward. Like, you know, oh, you need to compliment me more, or I wish you'd do more around the house, or I wish you'd drink less or eat healthier or work out more or lose weight or tell me how you feel more often. I want you to dress cooler or, you know, differently, or I want you to wear nicer clothes. Or I want you to talk to me more. I want you to be more vulnerable. I want you to be more romantic or be more supportive or be kinder to my family. You know, the list could go on and on and on. We all have these ideas of what we need to feel good about the relationship. And so if we drop those expectations, first of all, I want to say that one of my favorite authors, Pema Chodron, she is a very prolific writer. She has a ton of books. And one of the things she talks about so much is that clinging to the way that we want things to be, or we want the way we think things should be, is the cause of suffering. That's what causes us pain and unhappiness. So here's a perfect example of that, is that if we cling to these expectations of a relationship of how our partner should treat us, you're just setting yourself, you're giving away your power is what you're doing. You are giving all the power away, and you're waiting for that to happen instead of just being able to give it to yourself. So if you drop those expectations, then you get to be who you are. Your partner gets to be who they are, and you get to decide what you think and feel about that, right? If you want a good relationship, you're going to choose good thoughts and good feelings. So I know you're probably thinking, yeah, Courtney, but what about like things like cheating or abuse or those really difficult situations like that? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but really what that usually boils down to is boundaries. And it's a little, that's where things get a little sticky, but we'll talk about that. So one thing that has been helpful for me in my relationship with my partner is to think about each of you having different realities. You experience the same thing very differently. If you think about growing up, and you have siblings, one event in that all of your siblings, let's say you have two siblings, that all three of you are present for, you're all going to have very different memories of that experience. You're going to feel differently about them. And so like with your partner, to consider that you each experience a situation through your own lens and with different thoughts and feelings. And your partner's experience is just as valid as yours is. And it's different, right? But their thoughts and feelings, your thoughts and feelings, it's, you know, it's like I said, it's through your own lens. And the way that you think about the situation, I've talked about this many times on this podcast, is just your beliefs, the stories you have about yourself and the world. Like those things are what cause you to think a certain way about something. So you have to remember that, is that like you and your partner do not have the same backgrounds. So you have different beliefs, different stories, different patterns. So you're going to interpret events very differently. So, you know, in the example of an argument, like, let's just say I'm going to use a silly example that actually, believe it or not, did happen to me this weekend. So Ben, if you're listening, it's funny to share it. So we got Thai food last week, and for dinner one night, I was not feeling well. I had a super bad headache. And so Ben was like, well, spicy will help it. So we got Thai and really spicy. And so it was really good. And I usually when we get Thai, I eat like a third of it, and it's like three meals for me. So I put it in the fridge, and I was planning on having it for lunch one day over the weekend. And somehow in the morning we were talking, and I realized that he had eaten my Thai for breakfast. And I kind of gave him a hard time about it because I'm like, I would never do that. Just eat your food. And he made up some, you know, bullshit thing about it being a 3-day rule. If it's in the fridge for 3 days, then it's fair game. So, okay. So let's just use that whole example as something, as the situation, right? So I viewed it one way because growing up for me, I would never have taken someone else's food without asking, or at least saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry I ate your food because I was really hungry and there was nothing else to eat, you know, or asking, do you mind if I eat this? That's how I was raised. Okay. So there's my lens. And I don't really know exactly how he was raised translates into this, but his idea was very different. So we had very different perceptions of this same situation and what was okay and not. So if you don't realize that, if you don't take the time to notice that, you can end up getting in a really big fight, right? Because you just want the other person to see your point of view, but they might not, right? You need to keep that in mind. And really what it all comes down to is connection. We all want to be seen. We want to be heard. And the thing is, we can still do that for our partner while we're still honoring our own experience. You know, so at the end of the day, like I made kind of a deal about it for some unknown reason. And then I was like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. Like I still was kind of annoyed, but then I looked at it through a different, you know, I was like, okay, to him, this isn't a big deal and that's fine. That's okay. So I'm seeing you, hearing you. And yes, and I hear you that there was really not a lot for breakfast. So that's cool. Eat my Thai food. I don't care. Silly example, but so really, you know, when we talk about it in terms of connecting, you know, in a relationship, we want to feel love, right? And so in order to feel love, we need to choose thoughts that are going to create that feeling. Which brings me to talk about unconditional love, which is loving someone no matter what. And that is a choice. Like you can decide, despite everything that bugs you, you still love someone no matter what, or even when something isn't going your way. A lot of times what people tend to do is when someone isn't behaving how they want them to behave, they withhold love. Or like in my case, I'll be really honest, is that I've been through times where I'm like, oh, this is not the right relationship for me. I'm out. I can't do this, right? And so that's what's been so profound about me exploring this, is that, you know, loving someone is unconditionally, no matter what, even when someone's not meeting a need of yours, that is a choice. And for me to decide, oh, nope, I'm not going to love you because of that. In that case, when you're doing that, I'm not loving you. Like that just hurts me, because love is a feeling that you create. It's an emotion. It's a vibration in your body that feels good, right? So if I don't feel love then for that person, I'm robbing myself of feeling that emotion. Other people interpret love as a thought. If you love them, you feel the love, right? You feel that good feeling in your body. They interpret it as a thought. They feel whatever they're going to feel because of that thought. So you vibrating the love does not mean that they feel love, right? That's why you can feel something and someone else can experience it completely different. It's all because of how we think of things. So yeah, when you decide, yeah, I don't like that about you, that's not a feeling of love. And by doing that, you're taking that power away from yourself of being able to feel good. And like I said, most people deny themselves that feeling when the other person doesn't meet their expectations or their rules in the relationship. So it's like, well, I don't like what you did, so I'm going to punish myself by feeling negative about it and then reacting negatively towards you, which doesn't feel good, right? Again, it's a choice. We get to feel love no matter what other people do. There doesn't have to be a condition on it. It's like with your kids. That's a perfect example. How often do your kids do something that drives you nuts? You still love them, right? You love them no matter what. You don't always love what they do. It's a difference between loving them and not loving what they do. Now, this is all to say that it does not mean that you don't have boundaries. That's another thing that we'll talk about. But it just means that you don't have to feel hate or anger or frustration towards someone or to react negatively to them because of something they do. You have the power to, you know, to react emotionally. You know, that's your choice and how you do that. So you may be asking, well, Courtney, what about like if my partner cheats on me? Or what if I'm physically or emotionally or verbally abused? Or what if my partner picks fights all the time? That's where boundaries come in. So you get to set boundaries. You know, a boundary is a line that separates acceptable and unacceptable behavior for you. And usually when a boundary is crossed, you know, if it's your boundary, you enforce that boundary and there's a consequence for the other person. And sometimes that consequence is communicated to the other person, and sometimes it's just something that's an internal boundary so then you behave a different way to prevent that boundary from being crossed in the future. And I also want to clarify a boundary versus a threat, because I think this gets to be real dicey in relationships too. I know people have talked to me about how, you know, they're just trying to set boundaries and their partner is like, well, you're just threatening me or you're just making ultimatums. And so I want to be clear about what the difference is. So a boundary is something that says what you will do if that line is crossed. A threat is something that you want them to do. So you think about it from a control standpoint. If you threaten someone, it's something that you want them to do. You can't control what other people do. So it's a very disempowering thing. A boundary comes from a place of empowerment. It's like, this is what I will do if you cross this line. And so you have control over, again, you put the control, you put the power in your hands of how this is all going to go down. So some examples of a boundary is, if you hit me, I'll call the police. Or if you speak to me inappropriately, I will never speak to you again. Or if you smoke in the car, I'm going to get out of the car. Or if you drink, I will not ride home with you. Those are examples of boundaries, because those are things that you're establishing that this is not acceptable for me. So if this takes place, then I will be doing this. A lot of times when our boundaries are violated, it happens because we haven't been consistently protecting them. And I think that when you set boundaries that haven't been there before, it takes a little practice to implement them and be good at enforcing them. I see that a lot with clients that I have that set new boundaries, is it takes a little while before they can be very steadfast in communicating that this is a boundary and this is what will happen if you cross it. Whether or not that's an external, like, verbal thing, or if it's more of a more subtle, you know, internally driven thing. So like an example of a boundary that's not protected. I was in a relationship once where the person I was with would get very angry and swear a lot. And totally unacceptable to me, would say, fuck you. Totally unacceptable to me, right? And I communicated that. I said, if you ever say that to me again, I'm gone. But I let it happen multiple times, right? So of course, you know, it would stand to reason that if I didn't honor that boundary once, twice, three times that it's probably okay to say fuck you, right? So there's an example of that. You set your boundary, you set it with love, you set it for love for yourself, you set it with love for other people, and then you absolutely follow through with it no matter what. And that's how you protect those boundaries. I don't want to diminish people that are in abusive relationships and things like that, because that's a very difficult space to be in. I'm not even going to go there. My heart goes out to you. If you are in that situation, please, please, please talk to somebody. So with all of this, like, the bottom line is really that we get to decide if we're showing up how we want to show up in the relationship. You know, we need to allow adults to just be who they are and do what they're going to do. And then we just work on our own thoughts about it, because that's all we can control. So if you let go of the stuff you can't control, which is the behavior of others, it's just a much more easeful place to live from. And the other person will appreciate it too. You know, there's nothing better than being with somebody who loves you for who you are and not turning you into a constant self-improvement project. You know, just worry about yourself and worry about what you can do to, you know, how your thoughts are affecting your place in the relationship. I think one of the questions that I have been asking myself lately is, first of all, just really looking at what thoughts I do have, maybe why I'm having them. Is there an alternate way I could be thinking that works for me? And then just really asking myself, the biggest priority for me in my life is that I show up as the person that I'm meant to be, that I'm showing up authentically in every place in my life. And so that's the question I ask myself. Is the changing of my thoughts to be able to, is this authentic to me? And that's a really good question to ask in any area of your life. So this has been just really a fascinating way of looking at relationships and expectations for me. But since a discussion about relationships would really not be complete without talking about your relationship with yourself, which is the most important relationship that you can have. And your relationship with yourself is also dependent on your thoughts about yourself, right? Having a good relationship with yourself is really a commitment to think highly of yourself. If we think about lovability, your ability to be loved, you're 100% lovable. There is nothing that is not lovable about you. There is nothing that you can do to be more worthy of love at all. You are just born with that. So if you don't love yourself, it's a reflection of your choice to love yourself, not your lovability. It's kind of like with other people too. If you use the example of you being lovable to someone else, you are 100% lovable. So your ability to be loved is not dependent on you. It's dependent on the other person and their capability or their capacity to love you. It has nothing to do with you. Now, when we talk about self-love, it still has something to do with, it has something to do with you, but kind of in a twisted way. So if you don't love yourself, it has nothing to do with your inner self. So we think about it in terms of like your inner mean girl I talk about a lot, inner critic, your ego, and then your higher self, right? Your inner self. So your inner self is like your true being. And that is 100% lovable. There's no way that there's nothing you can do to be more lovable there. It just is love. And so if your inner mean girl does not love, if you don't love yourself, it's a reflection of that choice, that inner mean girl choice talking to you saying you can't love yourself. It's not your lovability. And how you treat yourself is a reflection of those thoughts. That's why that kind of work with your inner mean girl, your ego, inner critic, that is such important work to do. And I do a lot of that with my clients. It's a game changer. It's not always easy though, right? It's not always easy to love yourself. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably get what I'm saying. So why is it hard? Well, our brains want to look for negative stuff. They want to judge. They're there to protect. They're very afraid of, you know, putting ourselves out there, about getting hurt, failing, all of those things. So it's always looking at the negative stuff. its tendency is definitely glasses half full type stuff. And also society and the media, the you know, around us does not really support self-love very well. And also some people will be like, well, I don't like loving myself feels like being conceited or like arrogant, bragging. And it's not bragging. It's because that would be, I'm amazing. I'm better than you. Like I'm much better than you. And so loving yourself is like thinking you're amazing, but also thinking other people are amazing too. It's like we all have amazingness, and it's appreciating your amazingness is really what that is. You know, I'm really awesome and I love myself, but you're really awesome too. And I hope you love yourself too. So your time is much better spent encouraging yourself, being complimentary and kind to yourself, rather than spending your time, you know, putting yourself down and saying nasty things. So that's all a choice. And the more you practice it, it gets easier. So keep that in mind. Work on that relationship with yourself. It all has to do with your thoughts. So to recap all of this, all of your relationships are really your thoughts about a person. It's kind of crazy to think about it that way. And I think it might take you a little while to get your head around this. And I know for me, it did too. I had a lot of like questions that came up about it, and I journaled a lot about it. You know, I wrote about it a lot. And so it was a really great exercise though, to just sort of have a different perspective on thinking about a relationship, like really taking a look at what are my expectations in my own relationships. And another thing to think about too, is if you take a look at all the relationships in your life, look at how there are similarities between them. Chances are there are patterns that are similar because they come from our thoughts. And our thoughts, like the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. Our thoughts originate from the same brain. So they kind of tend to be similar with, you know, in different situations. So that's a really interesting thing to do too, is take a look at all the relationships in your life and see like where you see similarities or patterns there. But as always, take what you like, leave the rest. I just thought it was kind of an interesting take on it and some really great stuff to think about. The more I get into coaching and I coach different people, it's really clear to me that it's kind of funny. The way that I grew up and the things that I learned growing up, it's not anything about like my family and what they tell me. It's just everybody has their own set of beliefs that they grow up with. And then when you get older, it's just, it creates such a small worldview. You're in this box of thinking. And so the more that you can look at other ways to think outside of your box, I'm telling you, if you do this work, it's incredible and it will really change your life. When you start to see where your thoughts have been limiting you, it's mind-blowing, and you'll start to see where you can change those things. And then when you start to change little thoughts at a time, it's kind of mind-blowing the things that you start to see possible. So take what you like, leave the rest, but I hope it was interesting at least for you. Think about it and try to drop some of those thoughts and expectations in your own relationships and just play with it. See how your connection deepens or expands. I'm working on this too, and I would love to hear what you find in your own relationships. Let's chat about it. Thanks a lot for listening, friends. I really appreciate your support as always, and I would love it if you would drop me a review and a rating. It really helps get this podcast out, get the word out to other people so they can learn and connect as well. So thanks for listening, and I will see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Real, Brave, and Unstoppable. If you'd like to learn more about creating an authentic life that's true to who you are, visit CourtneyRevard.com/lovelife to download your free guide on how to build your vision and create a life that you love. You'll be so glad you did. I'll see you next time.